God will make all things new, and I will rise up. Thank you, Sister Shirley, the trio, and of course, members of the choir, for that wonderful, inspirational entry in today's service. You are at the appointed place at the appointed time. God woke you up this morning and started you on your way. So give God some glory on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday. God is good. Let me ask these folks, because y'all not ready. God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good,
God is good
all the time.
And all the time. Amen. James Baldwin once said, "Because I'm alive, I cannot be pessimistic." So that's why we always say, God is good. I am Reverend James Watson. I have the honor of serving you today as both your worship leader and the message. And again, welcome to those of you here in the sanctuary, and to those of you in our virtual world, welcome. Good morning once again. Let's have a little fun today, shall we? In Jesus' name. You can always have fun in Jesus' name. Amen? So if I were to ask you, where is heaven? What would be your first thought? Oh, come on. We got an active audience today. I love that. To you in the virtual world, where is heaven? What would you first say? Or better still, what is heaven? By answering the second question, the answer to the first question will become clearer. Luke 17, 20 and 21 reads, "And we find Jesus being grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God, or when heaven, would come. Jesus answered, 'The kingdom of God does not come by counting the days on a calendar, nor when someone says, look here, look there, look over there.' And why? Because God's kingdom is already among you." See, Jesus, as you read his interactions with authority figures throughout the course of his earthly ministry, I think Jesus had a little bit of street cred about himself. He wasn't one to mince words, but he was always one to challenge authority. And he did it in such a way that they may not have realized they were being challenged until he was out of their midst. Yet, if you gauge the way things are among you these days, you might wonder where exactly this kingdom of heaven might be. You name it. And it seems every facet of society is going through it, and not necessarily in a good way. There's no need to even call out or even start to list all the things that are perceived to be wrong right now. You'll only exhaust yourself, growing weary, depressed, disappointed, even wonder, will it ever end? Will I ever get to heaven? The trouble with trying to see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is just that. We are trying too hard to see it in the physical. The phrase "among you" was in response to the non-believing Pharisees. Jesus was acknowledging and affirming heaven was present and active within his person, his ministry. Even if they didn't recognize it, Jesus directly challenged the Pharisees' expectations of a geographically or politically located kingdom that they can actually go to. To say within his person, within his ministry, Jesus was speaking of heaven as a state of consciousness. Somebody say consciousness. As the Son of God, Jesus had and has all divine authority to bring about heaven here in our daily lives. And guess what? Guess We do too. Imagine that. We can invoke heaven here on earth just as well as Jesus came to do on our behalf. Yet to truly grasp and realize the truth, we individually and collectively together, we have to embody and truly activate this state of consciousness within ourselves. There's no magic formula. There's no hocus pocus. There's no multi-step process. There's no support group that you have to go to. And there's no authority figure to turn to. We must seek to actualize the attributes of heaven, peace, joy, abundance, patience, wholeness, and love, to name a few. To do this, we simply have to turn within. James chapter 1, verse 2 states, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." And Lord knows we've been tested. Other versions state, "Count it all joy." See, the gift. Now, you might be thinking, this problem that I'm going through right now, this situation is no walk in the park. Or I cannot see how this is going to be good for me or for all at all. Where is the gift in a troubling diagnosis? How am I supposed to be joyful in losing my job? My relationship is on the rocks. I'm struggling in school. Social media is full of controversy and negativity. How are any of these gifts? Verses 3 and 4 of James chapter 1 comes into play here. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and shows its true colors. An incredibly unique aspect here, your faith life. We all have faith, do we not? Whether we acknowledge it or not, we have faith. Whether we call upon it or not, we have faith. Faith is an aspect of heaven that is readily available in all of us. So whether it's joy or a sheer gift, the idea here is to be still in the depths of one's being, calling upon one's faith and let go of the outer world. Has anybody ever tried to do that? And it's been a struggle to not focus on what's going on out here and to just focus on what's going on in here. That means tuning out all the negative energy, the negative influences, the negativity that's floating here and there, the emotional reactions to situations, the what ifs about challenges. Well, what if this? What if this? What if this? The guessing game about other people's impact on your life. Just become still. Again, to be still under the pressures of life can be challenging. I know for me, at times, I often feel I'm not doing enough to address the situation. What can I do to solve the problem? What can I do to make it better? What can I do to answer to this situation? How do I let others know what I think or feel about what they did or said to me? Or how they made me feel? Side note. Many, many moons ago, back at 7th and A Street, y'all remember our history back in 7th and A? Reverend Sylvia had a message that reminded us, no one can hurt your feelings. Absolutely no one. They are your feelings. Therefore, you can choose how to receive and react through your feelings. You can choose to allow your feelings to reflect hurt, or you can choose to guard your feelings. That has always stuck with me when I hear the phrase, "You hurt my feelings." In retrospect, this can be applied to today's message, especially when one chooses to guard one's feelings. It is a choice to sit still and not react. That's kind of hard to do. That's hard to do in this day and age. Verse 4 of James chapter 1 states, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. In choosing to sit still and not react, it can be a way of not trying to get out of a situation or to solve the problem or to counterpunch in response. We've all had experiences where we thought we were doing the right thing, where we thought we said the right thing or did the right thing, only for that situation to escalate into bigger problems. This could be seen as trying to get out of whatever it was before you were ready to do so. As it states in James chapter 1, prematurely. So I'm supposed to just sit by and let someone have their moment, have their way with me, talk about me, disparage me, put me down, say this, that, and the other about me, and I'm not supposed to do anything? Really? In our natural selves, we might respond, yeah, right. Bring it, because I'm ready for you. That's our natural self. But to bring about the attributes of heaven, we must invoke our divine nature, the Christ being within. It's through this level of internal fortitude and courage that we move from enduring trials and reaching maturity and well-developed beingness outwardly as a believer, as a disciple of Christ. That's not only encouraging, but it takes courage to fully understand and realize. Keep in mind, this is not a one-and-done situation. This is and should be something we do every single day of our lives. We should invoke every single day of our life, every waking moment, even when we're sleeping. We should always be seeking to invoke heaven as a way of walking and talking through this life journey. As mentioned in John chapter 16, verse 33, the Father is with me. I've told you all this so that you can trust in me. You will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties. See, Jesus recognized that we will still have issues. We will still have to go through problems. We will still have life's journeys up and down. But he said, take heart, I've conquered the world. As life unfolds, and it certainly will, we have to call upon the presence, the Christ within. Doing so brings about the heavenly attributes of assurance, unshakable faith, and peace. The actual peace spoken about in John chapter 14, 27. Peace, I don't leave you the way you're used to being left. In other words, Christ recognizes how the world may treat you because of your belief in him. That the world may abandon you, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Other versions state, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is well aware of what the trappings of this world can do to one's being and to one's soul. Here we're reminded this world offers temporary or conditional peace. And at any given time, it could be snatched away. So don't look to the world to give you peace. The true attribute of heaven, that peace which is not the absence of anxiety, but rather a sense of security and well-being that comes from within, acknowledging one's true relationship with Jesus. That's the peace, a heavenly attribute that resides within, especially in times of difficulty. Through these heavenly attributes, we can invoke the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's the light at the end of the tunnel, the long game, where a loving God promises each of us plans to prosper and not to harm in this thing called life. To actualize the presence of our highest good within, to manifest that good outwardly, we have to ignite the true essence of thoughts held in mind. Thoughts held in mind. So if you desire heaven on earth, then your thoughts, your higher consciousness has to be of heavenly attributes, no matter the storm at hand. Romans 8 and 18 reminds us, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present times and the coming good times. This is not to minimize the pain, the emotional state, the suffering, the situation that you may be going through, but it's to put it into eternal perspective in relation to who you truly are and whose you truly are, that is, a spiritual being experiencing a human journey. That's how you know that you know. You may get knocked down. You may be pulled in different directions. You may find yourself beside yourself, wondering why. And yes, you may even fall. That pales in comparison to the power of a faithful God who's right there beside you to pick you up, dust you off, turn you around, and restore you to God's self and place you right where you're supposed to be. You're quiet today. And you know what? That's a promise you can count on every single moment of every single day. And I know, you know, we all know those, to include ourselves, who have many a testimony of how I made it, even though I didn't think I would or could, or how when my back was against the wall, just like the Battle of Jericho, the wall came tumbling down and I was made whole and free. These testimonies were trust in the Lord through one's full heart and full mind, and not focus on the world, made all the difference leading towards the right and perfect path. One's heavenly attributes, bounty of the kingdom, God's true and perfect kingdom at work here on earth. Even in the midst of what we're seeing right now here today, God is still in the midst. He is in the mix. God is making things work according to God's will and to God's plan. Our job, our task at hand is to sit still and know that we know God's got it. So I thought, while preparing this talk, what can capture the spirit, the intent of waiting, trusting, enduring, and leaning into one's faith through the heavenly attributes to materialize one's glory, one's highest good here on earth? Are you ready for my thought? Are you sure you're ready? Are you ready, virtual world? Are you ready for my thought? So I ask everybody to lean forward. Just lean forward real quick. I'm about to give you my thought. Y'all leaning forward? Lean forward. Okay, everybody lean forward. That's what I'm talking about. That's right, take your time. Here's the thought. Here's the phrase that came to mind that will put this all together. Y'all ain't ready for it. Y'all ain't even ready for it. You look good, you're smiling and everything, you're full from breakfast, but y'all not ready for the thought yet. Y'all not ready. Here we go. The phrase is, what had happened was. What had happened was. Turn to your neighbor and say, what had happened was. You in the virtual world, say, what had happened was. And that came to me loud and clear. And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. Does this carry a significant spiritual aspect to it? But yet, it can be a moment of recognition, a way to acknowledge past events and their impact on one's spiritual journey. If you think about it, The phrase, what had happened was, introduces an explanation or clarification of a previous event or situation. It signals the importance and emphasizes an explanation as being crucial for understanding the events that follows. The context often implies a chain of events or a narrative where one event leads to another. It denotes a shift in relationship of what happened to the subsequent event that follows. Little history note, little history trivia. Can you guess who's been credited with coining this phrase? What had happened was? You have to think about somebody who was in their prime in the 1970s. I was just a baby then. That's my truth, and I'm sticking with it. Any guesses? In the virtual world, any guesses? Say it again. Okay. It's none other than the late comedian Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor coined the phrase, what had happened was. In one of his stand-up routines, as a joke, he was trying to explain how he was speeding to the police by responding to the officer, what had happened was. And since then, it has become a common part of our everyday communication. Now, let's just be, I know you're probably saying, does he walk around with that kind of stuff in his head all the time? I do not. There's other random thoughts up there that are more important. But I did consult a higher source, ChatGPT, for assistance. So let's see how we can weave what had happened was into our spiritual journey. Then I thought, what biblical story can help demonstrate the spiritual application of what had happened was? So I said, take for instance the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Now, it's a day afterwards. She's whole. She's healed. She's been restored. She's approached by her family and friends. Now, remember, in those times, women in her situation were shunned from society. They were seen as second-class citizens, and they weren't allowed to be out publicly most of the time. So her friends and family look at her, and they say, girl, look at you. You look good. Well, what happened? You're glowing. You're smiling. You look happy. Now, she could have hesitated for a moment, thinking, oh, now you want to talk to me. Now I'm somebody you want to be around. Now I'm somebody that's going to help you see the light. Now I'm the center of attention. But she didn't. Instead, her response could have been, what had happened was, as you know, I was suffering from a bleeding disorder for 12 long years. I couldn't get anyone to help me. I spent all that I had trying to get healed by the doctors, but no one and nothing helped. I was all alone. I heard that Jesus would be coming to town. So I thought, if I could just connect with him, because I heard about the healing that he's done. And I'm looking for healing. I'm looking for total healing. I'm looking for someone to heal me. And I heard that he's the one. Maybe I don't even have to touch him. I don't even have to connect with him. Even if he just looks at me, he might heal me. So I made my way close, but there are so many people around him. So I thought, what can I lose here? So all I did was I reached through the crowd, and I touched the hem of his garment. That's all I did. I didn't touch him. I just touched that piece of his cloak that was flowing behind him. And immediately Jesus said, who touched me? First I got scared. And when he saw me, even though I only touched his garment, he affirmed my faith, declaring me healed. But there was something on the inside of me that responded when he asked, "Who touched me?" Then I realized I had put so much focus on my issue and having someone outside to help me that I failed to realize the ability to heal, to restore my own health, was already in me. When I turned within, through faith, endurance, trust, and courage, I found the healing attributes of heaven in the exchange of power between Jesus and me. So what had happened was I was healed and made whole because of my true faith in Jesus. You see, her what had happened was experience illustrated the chain of events, suffering for years with a physical disorder, seeking help wherever she could, only to come up short, being despised by society and feeling mired in pain and suffering leading to her brokenness, for the moment kept her from seeing the attributes of heaven already within her. It wasn't until she heard that Jesus would be nearby that she actually tapped into her faith, belief, and hope that he, Jesus, could change it all for her. As we know, energy begets energy. So when Jesus recognized the power going out of him, it was divine energy through wireless connectivity, through Wi-Fi, which moved inside of her, engaging her heavenly attributes, and she was healed. That's what had happened was, highlights the shift in one's relationship during life episodes from hopelessness, despair, doubt, worry, concern, to that of faith, wholeness, completeness, restoration, actualizing heaven here on earth. Fast forward to today. With all that rocking the world, and not necessarily a good way, especially this nation, from the highest levels of government through economic downturns, it may be challenging to call upon one's heavenly attributes. Just keeping it real. Complacency, disenchantment, levels of concern, worry not experienced before may be consuming you while you're awake and may consume you while you try to sleep. Looking for the nearest exit or wanting to fight just because there's a need to prove how wrong things are in the world. This leads to deep valleys, causing a sense of separation from what could be. A separation even between the kingdom of heaven and our earthly journey. But once you have that what had happened was experience, yes, I was let go of my job through all of this madness, but I found another job. Yes, I lost my health benefits, yet I was able to find alternative resources for the good of my health. Yes, my salary, my pay may have been cut, but I'm still able to provide for my family. That's your what had happened was experience. All because you were not rattled, you were not shaken or otherwise disturbed by what's going on in the world. And it might have been expected or unexpected. But as it unfolded and change has been coming swift and faster than it ever has before, you didn't tip your toe in the pool of disbelief or bewilderment. And even if you did, you didn't stay there. You knew where your help comes, and it's not coming from where? It's not coming from this world, but from the presence and power within the heavenly attributes of God's kingdom. The world and all its ebb and flow, up and down, back and forth, shortcomings, follies, uncertainty, quests for power, greed, total control, and falsehoods and the like cannot trump God. No matter how the world may try. You can laugh at that. That was an oops. I so look forward to when the world has its what had happened was experience and realizes that God is still in control. God is still in control. And if you have had not had, ooh, that was a lot. If you have, yeah, what had happened was I got tongue twisted. And if you have had, one more time, it's written right here. And if you have had not had, ooh, your what had happened was experience, just know it's on the way. Remember, the kingdom of God will be there with you, as you, to guide you. You, every single step of the way. Your faith, your belief, your trust and hope in God and nothing else will be ever present so that you can realize and manifest, that's all right, you can applaud and manifest the kingdom of God which resonates within each and every one of you. And you can manifest that kingdom of God where? Here on earth. Let the stock market fall. My stock is in a higher power. Let the shelves go bare in the store. My sustenance comes from a higher power. Let the lights get turned off. I'll just turn my light on the inside brighter. So do you believe that today?
Yes.
Do you believe that we can manifest heaven here on earth today?
Yes.
Do you realize that the kingdom of God is here today?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Those of you in the virtual world, are you sure you can manifest the kingdom of heaven here on earth? When can you do it?
Yes.
When can you do it?
Yes.
So I ask you, in the sanctuary and in the virtual world, I ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to do a little calisthenics, little holy calisthenics. Virtual world, I know you're in your PJs and your shorts and your tank tops. You might be sitting outside. It's okay to stand as well. I'm going to say, because of what had happened was, and I want you to repeat each affirmation that is going to be shown on the screen, one by one, going down the list. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Virtual world, are you ready? Oh, y'all virtual too? Y'all good. Audio visual, are you ready? Let's go. Because of what had happened was? 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 Because of what had happened was. Because of what had happened was. Woo! Give yourselves a hand. And so it is, and so it shall be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. And the people of God shout, amen. Blessings. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.